哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。
Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 ay.
My name is Mike Williams. I'm from Akiak, Alaska. It's in the Kuskokwim River, and my date of birth is on September 29th, 1952. I am a proud Yupik from Akiak, and I know who I am. I know my language. I am drug-free, completely drug-free of alcohol, other substances, and I'm proud of it. And I'm still practicing, you know, subsistence way of life and the dogs, and keeping me very active, hunting and fishing for my dogs, and continuously being physically active, spiritually active, emotionally active, mentally active. So, you know, if we are complete in those four areas, then, you know, we can do anything we want to do. Yahuinga Mike Williams Sarunga Senior Akkermuk Yuchtensu Kochchawa Kochchakwani Sami Rushuk Laplander Aruluni Tony Honey Akkermi Kitrani Mikel Sara Mkatraluni Kochcham Katin Kshok im Kasatin Honey Big Bear Aruluni Tony Honey Kitrani Yuchtimni Achikotna Michael Sarah Sarah Lotoy im la parunritsaq llaangatawam yupparullo qorchamuk tawam atiq atqana Growing up was very, very traditional in my early years. We had a limited amount of electricity. We didn't have any oil stoves. We didn't have any TV, telephones while I was growing up. We only spoke in Yupik in our home, and we basically survived off our subsistence way of life from the land, from the rivers and the sea. We had to survive with our dogs to haul firewood, to pack water, and to do some hunting throughout our region in our area. And the Alaska Range. That's where our people survived in the Nushigak Mountains and the Kuskokwim Mountains. So that's where our people grew up. We live by seasons. In the spring, we used to prepare in March to take off in April to go to spring camping. Of course, there was a BIA day school there where I attended. We had to take our lessons with us to spring camp. We used to take off about first week of April to hunt some muskrats and to live in a spring camp, trapping muskrat and also living off the land there with fish and migratory birds. We depended on muskrat skins for income, and that's what we all did, trying to get all of the coats, many coats as we can. I think it was some of the best of times that I remember, living with a family and several families in spring camps and sharing everything that we have with each other. Of course, we brought our dogs with us. We always took care of the dogs, and we always had dogs. Even though the snow machines showed up, we continued to have dogs. And that was spring. It brings us to summer. Summer fishing camp. We put up as many fish as we can and preserve them for the winter. After summer, some people would go fall camping, uksuyak. They would get the whitefish and do some moose hunting and some caribou. The introduction of BIA schools by the federal government in Akiak forced us to cease going to fall camps, because in September we would begin schooling. They taught us how to read, write, and speak in English language. And that's when we started reading about Dick, Jane, Spot, and Puff, and generally a strange foreign schooling. You know, we used to see pictures of cars and sidewalks, curves, and just a different, completely different way of life from our Yupik way of life and the Western style of living. That was a part of, I think, an assimilation, acculturation process from our pure Yupik way of life, happy, healthy, our language intact, knowing who we are, and then changing the life over to Western way of life with learning English language and different laws and different policies coming down from Congress, and also religion coming in with different ideas. You know, loss of self-determination, loss of our powers in our communities, and taking care of our communities, and with different challenges, has been very, very, very rapid. And but we're working hard to do a lot of restoration of our languages, our cultures, and our way of life, and protecting our way of life and trying to do that as much as we can. Thank you. They always told us that we need to take care of our animals like our family members, and they're part of the family. We always had dogs, and even the snow machine showed up, we always had dogs. We continuously needed those dogs for transportation and hunting and, hunting and gathering wood and hauling wood. There were Akyak, original breed were Rit dogs that came from Akyak. I started racing when I was 14 years old on our major local races. And that's when I started racing until my education and military service and schooling came back to it, and we still had those dogs. In 1973, there were two brothers from Akyak that ran in the same sled. They were Owen and Robert Ivan. They decided to race the first one together in the same sled, thinking that one would sleep, rest, and continue to do things, and then the other would do the others while they're going, taking turns and helping each other and coming out ahead. It took them 30 days to do it. I became interested after that first race. We used to do some Anchorage Ferrandi races and sprint racing, and we after listening to some of the other mushers that these furry animals in Anchorage are racing against the best in the world, but don't have all the speed, lightning speed for 25 miles. But they can go all day, and we decided to try 1983 to start running the Iditarod, and it took us about 10 years of planning to race. And my brother raced in 1983, and we took a break or 9 years until we started. I started mushing. Especially for sobriety in 1992, and I continue to do that today. My first time out was we used to drive 20 dogs, and I got 20 dogs, and I started the dog race thinking that I'm going to sprint up to Nome, and with a race sled, and I could not fit everything in there, with cooker and pot, and it was a OT racing sled. And by the time we got to Skwetna, my sled was all falling apart, and I carried two dogs for the last 30 miles from that terrible trail from through Rabbit Lake out of Anchorage. And we ended up in Skwetna with sled bolts coming off and And I decided to do my 24-hour in Skwitna. And there there was Joe Reddington, Sr., 24-houring there. And there was Joe Garney from Teller that 24-houred in that checkpoint. Vern Chernisky is another one. Norman Vaughn was running at that time. So Tim Mundy was another guy that 24-houred there. But he scratched there, and I negotiated a sled trade with his toboggan, and there was I was successful in negotiating that trade with my racing sled, OT racing sled, and from there it was a better run to Nome, and I made it in 14 days. So at that checkpoint, I got to know Joe Reddington for the first time, and Joe Garney, of course, and I went to school with Joe Garney, and he's a very good friend of mine, and outstanding musher, tough, and he's got always tough dogs. You know, I was just going to do it once, and just to say I did it. But that first one, that first experience led me to another run the next year. And, you know, I ran three straight years in a row. But I accumulated so much debt in those 3 years that I decided to go back to work and pay off my bills. And in 2 years, I paid off my bills and restarted my running the Iditarod in 1997, and that's where I placed 18th, and that was my highest finish at the time, and continued racing today. And of course, the last 3 years, I took a break, so I can support my son who wanted to run the race, and took a little break until I couldn't stand it any longer, and my son and I decided to run the race this year together from the same kennel, and lo and behold, we accomplished that goal this year. It was a huge honor to do that. Not very many father and son. Does, you know, Joe Reddington and Ramey did that, and you know, Dan Seavey and Mitch did that. Mitch and the sons did that, and so we decided to do that from the same kennel. But I know it's. It was a huge financial risk, and it still is, trying to field two teams with all the expenses necessary to run the Iditarod from the area that is very challenging economically. Our corporate interests need to support our young mushers like Mike Jr., Josh Kadzow, Reddingtons, and other young folks that are mushing now that have equal shot at winning the Iditarod, and to have that shot to support them financially. To support them emotionally and spiritually, and you know, and to preserve our way of life that we have practiced for thousands of years, and we need to continue that today. I have been involved with tribal rights issues for a long time. That includes protecting our hunting and fishing rights, restoring our lands to the rightful owners, which are the tribal governments, and also preserving our laws and our ways of doing things in our communities. To really support each other and to work together and to unite to do what is best for our futures and our future generations, because future generations is a long time. And if we lose it right now, then we've lost. We lose our languages, we lose our culture, we lose our land, we lose our way of life, and that's not where we want to go. We want to preserve and protect what we have right now for future generations to enjoy. Tribal governments throughout the nations are doing in preserving their tribal sovereignty and their languages and their education and etc. to take back control of who they are and to restore and to stand up again to have the quality of life that we all deserve. Why I've been involved for the last 40 years on these issues of keeping our languages alive, keeping our lands, keeping our way of life intact in our villages, and it has been an honorable work in working with elders and. My advice to our young people is to educate, try to learn as much as you can of how these laws are affecting our way of life by the federal government, by the state government, and to if they are not good for our way of life, then we need to make changes. Because the laws can be changed. They were made by man, and they can be changed by man. You know, I think a person will be more educated, not just in a Western sense, but in our Yupik way of life, our indigenous way of life. If you know both cultures, the languages, and our English or Western education, you'll be wholly educated, and not just in a Western sense, but in a native culture, in a West, best of both worlds, and integrate those two, and it will make you a strong, well-educated person, whether you are Yupik, Inupiaq, Athabaskan, Polak, German, Swedish, anything, as long as you know and respect each other's cultures, I think it'll make you a valuable person. I've lost 6 brothers there, all dead from accidental deaths from alcohol abuse, and I'm not afraid to admit that. And I've seen that impact in my own family, that it wiped us out. And I decided to fight back, and I'm at war with alcohol. I'm very bitter against the alcohol and the kind of negative impact it had on my own family, and not just my brothers, but my cousins, my nephews, my nieces, and everybody. Alcohol has destroyed our community, and that's why I've been very active in my declaration at war with alcohol. And we began early on with the AFN sobriety movement, and I collected signatures of people pledging that they are going to be drug-free, substance abuse-free, free of alcohol for about a year. And that that little signature, you know, I think I garnered about 400,000 signatures for so far, but I decided to continue to spread the message of sobriety on the Iditarod. The same thing as it did with the saving of the population here from diphtheria, 1925 here, and the rate of suicides that our people are experiencing in our communities, we need to do something right now to restore all of that, to make us whole again. Around, and our leadership must stand up and support these issues that I'm talking about in order for us to survive into the future. It's going to be a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but I think once we are well educated, we are sober, then we can do anything we want to do, like what we just did with me and my son on the Iditarod. We're, you know, we're drug-free. We can do anything we want to do. Mike Williams. I'm from Akiak, Alaska. It's in the Kuskokwim River, and my date of birth is on September 29th, 1952. Since we're talking about languages, important of languages, I want to say a few words in Yupik. Makun kasatam ta unno mak yu yagam tnik pangkuta sichali pisro drang naksara put man na sunun naut put pangkuta yu chik put man na kwani pangkuta koyok suta chalak na kaput gitu mun kwani tukufkak knaki tamak knaki makut ayag yoput kwani umyok suki. Tawatin kwani ako kwani tkanam ta Yupik Nation of Elder, Council of Elder Rani kala akot laskwit kut tama akot akchakakap pagani luki tumek kahit makot kwani asin rilingot kwang kut nun pilri kwani chimiri kwani luki kan kala akot laskwit tama akot kanakot kaya nakfakwat na Nichunuluchi, Chali, Chalak Kaputwanko, the Amphapert.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.
If you are an elder or know an elder who would like to participate, call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or write to KNOM Radio, Elder Voices, P.O. Box 988, Nome, Alaska, 99762. Thank you for listening to Elder Voices.